Hello and welcome to the first and 10 review for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. I'm only just joined by Miles today. Miles, how are you doing, mate?
Good. Some good games over the weekend. Fun games over the weekend. Looking forward to talking about them.
Absolutely. We'll start off with the first game, probably the most one-sided of the bunch. Although, to be fair, it was tied at halftime. Obviously, Ravens Texans finished 34-10 in the end to the Ravens. Miles, I mean, from my perspective, I'm looking at this probably the Ravens defense, the biggest credit for the win here. I mean, to be fair to the Texans defense, did a decent job of keeping it close, but at the end of the day, if you're only scoring 10 points, that Ravens defense, we know it's really good, but if you're only scoring 10 points, you're not going to be winning any games in the playoffs, so.
No, I think the Ravens were always going to score a fair amount of points, but it was just could the Texans keep up with them? And they did for the first half, but that was when the Ravens weren't as free scoring. And then obviously the Ravens scored three times in the fourth quarter, but the Texans kind of they don't do much like trickery and motion and stuff like that. Their playbook seems quite simplistic. Granted, they've got a rookie QB, and are quite a young team. But once that gets stacked up, once they stall, that's it. They're done. There isn't anything else they can really do. So I think once Baltimore figured that out and stopped them at halftime, there was nothing else they could do. And then it was just a matter of, right, we need to score points. And Lamar Jackson, 100 yards on the ground and two touchdowns on the ground, as well as two through the air. He just took that game in his stride and punished Houston for not keeping up because it just got away from them completely in the fourth quarter. And, at first it looked like, oh, can they put off another upset? That'll be fun. But yeah, this Baltimore team's incredible, man. Like Houston, it's been a great story this season. It's been great fun to see, and hopefully they can keep it up next year. I've got a huge soft spot for them now, but yeah, Baltimore, far superior football team. Just yeah, outplayed, outcoached. It was just too much in the end, but Houston cannot be in any way ashamed or embarrassed of that performance because they just got comfortably beaten by a much better team.
Yeah, absolutely. And the old adage, defense and run game is what you need to win a championship. And the Ravens absolutely have both of those. And I guess it's just one of those things where you keep it close, give yourself a platform, and then Lamar Jackson will win you the game.
Yeah.
Quite a few, I mean, plays that you see only he's making. And yeah, so when you've got that comfort of that incredible defense, I think saying the first in takeaways, sacks, and scoring this season. I mean, it's an incredible all around strength. I just think they're really tough team to beat. I think there are quite a few questions about the offense, and I do sort of understand that, but I just think they've got enough there that the defense will keep them in games, and then Lamar can win
Yeah,
it for them like he did here.
exactly. Yeah, no, I agree completely.
Yeah, and were you disappointed with CJ Stroud or I, because obviously, we saw this game earlier in the season. It was a bit closer. What did you think of him this time around going up against the Ravens?
I mean, he wasn't bad, he didn't, turn it over or anything. I just think he came up against a very prepared defense with a very one-dimensional playbook, and that's not his fault. I don't think he was bad. I just think maybe the occasion was a bit too big for him, but he didn't crumble. He just couldn't. He couldn't switch. He couldn't switch it up a gear. And obviously, the best players, when their backs are against the wall, especially at quarterback, they will dig deep and find something else to push that team down the field and put some points on the board. And he couldn't do it, but I think that the Texans were so limited, like on the ground, that it was obvious when they were going to throw the ball. And yeah, it was just too much. it was just too much for the Texans as a whole team. But CJ Stroud, I think he was just he had a mediocre game, and that isn't good enough really at this level if the other components of your team aren't firing on all cylinders. So yeah, I think he was fine, but fine isn't enough in the NFL playoffs. This is playoff football, you know. So yeah, you need to step it up again. He couldn't, but that's fine. He's a rookie QB. He's an unbelievable season. I think he probably expected more from himself, but it wasn't meant to be. We go again next year. He'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that one of the main takeaways from this, he's very much still on his rookie contract. You've got plenty more years for the Texans to build around him. If you're the Texans, are you going all in from next year? Are you saying, okay, this is our window, we've got to win now?
I don't know, because anytime a young QB plays well, then you have the whole, well, now we've got a year of tape on him thing. So there is that. I think there are some creases in the offense that maybe, you know, I just think, you know, Dalton Schultz had some ugly drops. I think the O-line is pretty solid, but very inconsistent at times. But Stroud just does really well under pressure, which I think has made the O-line look a bit better than they have been. Defensively, pretty solid again. Like, I just think that they were a surprise package this year. Does that mean they're a Super Bowl contender for next year? It's tough to get out of the AFC. You know, you have to just look at the game we saw last night with Kansas City and the Bills. Like, it's tough. It's so tough to get out of the AFC that you have to have like some insane firepower. And I just think that you would have to add a lot to that offense. I think, you know, okay, you got Tank Dell coming back and we'll see what happens with Singletary, but I just think that offense isn't quite there. You know, I think Josh Allen and Mahomes are sort of in a tier of their own, and I love Stroud. He's had a fantastic season, but to think this team could be a contender next year is maybe a bit of a stretch at the moment, but that's not because the players are bad. I just think it's because everyone else is so good.
Yeah, and of course you've also got the Bengals as well will probably be in that conversation next year. Yeah, it's definitely very crowded AFC, very fun to watch, to be fair. We'll move over to the late game from Saturday for the NFC. I mean the Packers, it's the weekend of missed field goals, really, isn't it? I mean both teams had rookie kickers missing a couple of really big field goals. Obviously, the big one for the Packers would have put them 7 points up towards the end of the fourth quarter there. Niners on the next possession, go ahead, score a touchdown, give them a 3-point lead, and then Jordan Love makes probably the most ill-advised throw I've ever seen. I mean, I don't get me wrong, he seems like an incredible talent. He's made some incredible throws throughout this playoffs and, you know, regular season as well. But he was running in the opposite direction through across his body to a guy in triple coverage. And the ball wasn't even anywhere near the receiver. He had two defenders in between him and the ball. It genuinely blows my mind what was going through his head when he made that throw.
Adrenaline. He was
Well,
it, you
yeah.
know, like that is it was a really ill-advised throw, and he did say, I think it was before the game, he just looking back on the season, he was like, yeah, I made some bad, I can't remember what he said verbatim, but he had actually mentioned that he knew he had made some very risky throws, that some he got away with, some he didn't. And I think against the best team in the NFL, you cannot make that. You just can't. Like, I understand you want to make a play. You're the QB, you know, you're the captain of the offense. You need to, you know, generate offense in that, you know, very, very pivotal part of the game. But come on, like, yeah, we've seen it all season from him, but he's got away with it a lot of the time because he, you know, he's like, he's not, I'm not putting him on the same level as like Mahomes and stuff, but like, there are players like that where they get out of the pocket, they get a bit, you know, they're using their legs a bit, their throw on the run is good, and they trust that a bit too much. But guys like Mahomes can get away with it. Josh Allen, he can get away with it a lot of the time. You know, we've seen ill-advised throws from the best quarterbacks, and he's just not quite there yet. But even the best guys try not to do it because it's such a bad idea. And yeah, he made the wrong play at the wrong time against the absolute wrong team, and he paid for it, and they lost. But you know, he had an okay game, two touchdowns, two interceptions. I just think, as a whole performance, he was fine, especially against that team. You know, I think he can hold his head high after that game. I think he was really good, and the ground game was solid. You know, that he got production out of his receivers. I think he has nothing to be ashamed of, but at the same time, that throw will keep him up for a while, I would think, at night.
That throw is the one thing he has to be ashamed of, but nothing else. This, but yeah, it's one of those things where, because they were talking on commentary a bit about, I think the quote you talk about is basically where you talk about, I can make those throws, so I make them. What, at least the vibe I was getting from commentary was that he was talking about it in a sort of positive context of like, I can make those throws, so that's why I do them. And sort of the slight but not too much of a comparison to Mahomes, I think they're trying to make. But yeah, a very impressive performance from him and the Packers defense as well, to be fair, which I was not expecting. And from a Niners perspective, are you concerned about how close this game was? Because obviously, for me coming into it, I was not expecting this to be close whatsoever. Is there a thing of, I obviously the kind of had 2 weeks off, if you count week 18 resting the starters, and then obviously the Debo
I don't know.
Samuel injury. How sort of concerned are you about the Niners going forward?
I think they I don't know. I just they always find a way of winning, which is sort of the that's how you That's how good teams prove that they're good teams, is they don't have to destroy everyone that they play against. They just have to be very, very, very good. And they are. Like, I didn't re like, okay, Green Bay did shock Dallas, but I didn't think they were going to shock the Niners. And granted, they almost did, you know, but I just, yeah, you've got such a good team there. And it's like, I don't think they're really that beatable. I think, yeah, Green Bay got up and got close to them, but yeah, I think the Niners were always going to find. I think if Green Bay had put up 31 points, the Niners would have put up 34. Like, I don't think this was the Niners could only put up 24 points against Green Bay, and they got lucky that that kick was missed and didn't go to OT and whatever. I think it was just a matter of, they were always going to beat them. It doesn't matter by how much. And that's what the great teams do. You know, like, you look at the great teams from the past, like a lot of one score games, but they made it through to the end. And that's, you know, I remember our Patriots last Super Bowl run. You know, we had the AFC Championship game that we won in overtime. Like, Kansas City could have put up 100 points and we would have put up 106. Like, some teams just win. They just find ways of winning. KC did it last night. We'll get onto that game in a bit, but there are just teams that will always find a way of winning. And when you've got a roster as talented as San Francisco, and you know, you've got guys like McCaffrey and Trent Williams and all that, it's just like Kittle. I think they're gonna find a way, because that's how they operate. It's an elite team, and with an elite scheme, and everything works. And Jordan Love, yes, he had a good game. Yes, a very young team, still scored three times against them, but this Niners team is ridiculous. And I think they are always capable of finding a way through, even when they're not destroying teams. They find ways through.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how they progress. We'll move on. I can tell you're dying to talk about the Chiefs game, so we'll move along quickly. The Sunday game, the first of them, was the Bucks at the Lions. It's another close one. I have to say, I'm quite pleased about the result on this one. Not not nothing against the Bucks, but I did see people comparing Baker Mayfield to Eli Manning before this game. Incredibly disrespectful. Like, the man who had arguably the two greatest playoff runs of all time. Okay, you want to talk about the rest of the team was very strong. I just to mention them in the same sentence. It's awful.
Where did you hear that?
It was quite a few popular tweets on like who's going to be this generation's Eli Manning and
Right.
Baker
Well, that's
Mayfield
more of a
this.
slight on Manning, I think. It's more just like, yeah, I think they're saying Manning's not very good, but he still has two rings. Could Baker do the same thing?
But
I think my guess is that's what they're saying. I'm not saying that's what they're saying. I'm saying that's what it sounds like they're
oh
saying.
no, I completely agree with where they're coming from, but it's incredibly disrespectful. Like, just playoff Eli was a different beast. Like, Baker has been in the playoffs before, and he was not what Eli Manning was. Like, there's don't get me wrong, I understand Baker is that similar thing where he has his highs and lows, but Eli Manning in the playoffs was unstoppable unless his wide receivers had been off to Miami the week before. That was, I genuinely, I still have it in my head in 2016. If Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard had been able to catch a couple of balls, that could have been another one. But anyways, now that that's out of the way, Lions pretty good performance from them. Obviously, the offense, took a while to get going, but then it sort of felt like this game almost went in rhythm between the two teams. Like, both the first half was very much defenses dominating, and then once one offense got going, the other sort of matched it. How did you see this game at the end of it?
I think the Lions this season have had a few games where the offense has taken a while to really get going, and then, and I've noticed this through my frustrations with Jared Goff in fantasy. Still won a championship with him as my QB, but where the game will be like approaching midway through the third quarter, I'm like, where's the offense? Like, come on, like I need the points. And then before you know it, he's popped a 30-yarder downfield. Then someone else has done something else, and before you know, the ball's in the end zone in Sam Laporta's arms or something like that. And you're like, okay, right, we got things going a bit. And that sort of happened with this game. 3 points in the first quarter, both teams were on 10 points at half time, and then yeah, the only quarter where they scored twice was the fourth quarter, and they just pulled away from Tampa Bay, really. And yeah, that was it. I think they were consistent on offense, but they weren't like, they didn't have that firepower, that killer instinct that we've seen so much from them this season. Like the ability to just churn through defenses and stuff like that. Like that didn't come through until the very end. However, when you run the ball as heavily as they do, and you know that they're good at running the ball, it tires out the defense like a lot. Like playing run defense is exhausting for these players. So, and eventually, when you get into a good rhythm, that's when the late scores come in. That's how they finish off a game, and that's what they managed to do. Chasing Jahmyr Gibbs around all night is just, I mean, yeah, it's I get these guys get paid a lot, but that's still no easy feat. And then, St. Brown, Laporte. Laporte is a tight end. He had nine catches. It's difficult to play against this team because they're so good at everything, on the ground, through the air, it doesn't matter. They will find ways to hurt you, and it's relentless. And yes, okay, they're not putting up insane scores every week, but they are still working defenses to the bone, to the point where eventually they're just going to get overrun. And that's what we saw from Detroit. It was just too much for Tampa Bay in the end. And yeah, Jared Goff threw the ball 43 times. The team as a whole ran the ball 20 something times. They're just a very good football team, and it's just too much. I don't really think Tampa Bay did anything particularly wrong. I think they had a really good game. But Detroit just, yeah, offensively just just sliced them up in the end. And yeah, entertaining to watch. I love watching this Detroit team play.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting the first part of the game where it felt more like Jahmyr Gibbs was almost on the sideline for the whole
Yeah.
first half. And they were just sort of hyping him up, and then he eventually comes in, and you see it's one of those things, you know, that having that split partnership in the backfield really helps, I think, with those running backs and keeping the legs fresh.
Yeah.
Nine carries for 74 yards, four catches for 40 yards. I mean, it's just the explosiveness of Jahmyr Gibbs. It's one of those things you don't want him on three downs. You know, you want to be able to give the ball to Montgomery, let him do the hard yards, and then bring Jahmyr Gibbs in, and he can it sort of explode, really.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I was so like funny about the Gibbs pick when it came in. I was like, why have they done that? But you know, I'm not an NFL GM for a reason, I guess. I still don't believe in drafting running backs in the first round, but yeah, I think this two-headed monster they've created is just, it's like pick a week. Like they take turns dominating the field each week. And I think Jahmyr Gibbs has sort of come through as the dominant back now. But, you know, if Gibbs were to get hurt, touch wood, Montgomery's still fine. Like they've just, that two-headed beast in the backfield is just, again, relentless. It's painful to defend against because no one really, you've got the speedster, you've got the bruiser. And then my main slight against Jahmyr Gibbs on his college tape was he has no contact balance. But he's developed some solid contact balance now, shaking off tackles or, you know, getting hit and still going forward for an extra yard or so, whereas that would have knocked him back in college. Like, he's just taken a huge step forward. He's taken a stride forwards, and it's really entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I just remember back to that draft, and a lot of people were very negative about the Lions draft. But you look at Gibbs, Laporta, Branch, Campbell, the four instant starters, if not stars of this team. I mean, you have to say, to be fair, they've done very well there in a year where I don't think a lot of people, including myself, to be fair, were not expecting a lot of them. And you know, fair play. They absolutely deserve to be here. NFC Championship for the Detroit Lions. That's going to be a fascinating game against the Niners.
Can't
I
wait.
think Niners are still heavy, relatively heavy, as heavy as you can be for a championship game, I guess.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, both teams deserve to be there. But yeah, I think Niners still going as strong favourites, but it would definitely be an interesting game to watch play out. And then we'll move on to the main event. It was the one we're all sort of waiting for, Mahomes Allen yet again. And I do feel sorry for Bills fans at this point, because every year it feels like this is the year, and then again they bottle it. I feel it's harsh to use that word, but missed field goal cost them a game right at the end there. And I just felt like this Chiefs team, they have absolutely no right to come into Buffalo and win this game. And it's just one of those things where coming into it, I was still thinking, but I just don't want to bet against Patrick Mahomes. And it seems like a really simple way of looking at the game, but at the same time, it keeps happening. He keeps turning up with these incredible performances and turning Rashee Rice and Marcus Valdes-Scantling into decent players. And it's obviously Travis Kelce, you know, speaks for himself. But yeah, they had no right to come into Buffalo and win this. Buffalo were completely the form team, much better roster all around. And yet somehow Mahomes wins again.
You've always got a chance with Mahomes. Like, I obviously he doesn't have the legacy that Tom Brady has. But you know, as a lot of people have pointed out, Tom Brady's the GOAT, right? He's the greatest of all time in terms of success, but we've never seen a player like Mahomes. Like, and this game reminded me of, keep quote the second time I mention this now, but the Patriots' last Super Bowl run, And it was when we went into KC and we won in overtime. And I was like, we had no right to do that. Like, everyone thought we sucked, this, blah, blah, blah. And we just found a way of winning because you can't write off certain players. And that's what happened here. The Bills, for the majority of the game, seemed like the better team. Like, it didn't look like this was, the Bills' time of possession was 37 minutes and 3 seconds compared to Kansas City's 22 and 57. Like, the Bills were just so much better. They had more yardage, better on the ground. Okay, Mahomes actually passed for more yards, but it just felt like that. The Bills had 27 first downs to the Kansas City 21. Like, Kansas City were 1 of 5 on third down, whereas the Bills were 7 of 14, so 50% to 20%. Like, the Bills were the better team, and Kansas City won because they have the most talented QB of all time. Because you just can't write guys like Mahomes off. You just can't. They will find the way of driving down the field, and yeah, that's just what happened, and they won the game. It was. That's what winners do. They win when they're not playing brilliantly. They find ways of winning, like San Francisco did against Green Bay. Wasn't their finest performance of the season, but they will always find a way when it matters. And that's what happened again. And it is. I do feel sorry for Buffalo. Like, I don't have the disdain for them that a lot of other Patriots fans have, just because it's the AFC East. But we've seen, when it was KC v Buffalo a few years back, and KC won in overtime in Kansas City, and I was like, do you know what? I feel really bad that Josh Allen didn't get a chance to just have one drive, because that game was unbelievable. But at the same time, it's just like, what are you going to do? You are literally up against Patrick Mahomes. Like, Josh Allen could have thrown for 1,000 yards, and I think Mahomes still would have found a way to win. Like, you just can't. Some teams are just meant to be there, and they're one of them. This is a sixth straight AFC Championship game. They're just meant to be in that position. That's who they are. That's who Patrick Mahomes is. That's who Andy Reid is. They are just a team that wins, and this is the bare minimum for them. They had a bad season by their standards, especially at the start. This is the bare minimum for them. This is the absolute bare minimum, is making the AFC Championship game. Like, it's that elite mentality paired with elite personnel, and this is the end product. They were never not going to get that far. That's it. It's insane that we see it. We've been blessed to see it so much, and seeing it again, it's amazing.
But this is the thing, is that obviously the elite personnel is there in some positions, but these wide receivers, there shouldn't be no way they're winning a game with these wide receivers, and they didn't play that well, to be fair. It was very much in spite of them, really, for the Chiefs. I mean, they made a couple of big plays here and there, but there's you'd think in theory. Oh, well, the one way to nullify Patrick Mahomes, you take away his receivers, and therefore, if they're all awful, then you shouldn't be able to do anything, if you know what I mean. But yeah, how do you think they're going to match up against the Ravens next week then? Because obviously that is incredibly strong defense.
I don't have an answer for that, because I can never write off Mahomes. So if I predict the Ravens to win, I've written Mahomes off, and I can't actually I don't have it in me to do that. But this Ravens defense is fantastic. Lamar Jackson is probably okay. Mahomes is probably easier to game plan against than Lamar Jackson, but it's just whatever you game plan, he's like, Mahomes is going to throw it a lot, but he'll still just make the throws. Lamar Jackson, you don't know what he's going to do. Like, Houston's defense were quite solid this season, but every single team, even during the playoffs, every single team, Lamar Jackson doesn't have to be under center, or it doesn't matter where he is. where he's taking the snap from, the threat of the run is always going to be there. It's always going to be there. And that freezes a defense for an extra second, half a second, when the ball's been snapped, right? And it's almost like automatic play action. So that's why it's hard to write off Lamar Jackson either, because he is just so hard to game plan against. So you look at KC and that Spagnola defense, and you're like, that defense has been KC's key to success this year. Like, over the years, we've seen that high-powered Mahomes offense with Kelce, and that's been the driving force. Whereas this season, the defense has bailed them out a lot. And so, weirdly enough, we're going into a game where one team scored 24, 27 points, and the other scored 34 points, and both teams, their strengths are in the defense. That's going to be a really interesting matchup, simply because we're all tuning in to see Mahomes versus Jackson, but the defenses are going to play such a huge part in that game, and defense wins championships. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a defensive battle, but still a high scoring game. Like, there are going to be a lot of sacks and a lot of turnovers and stuff like that, but both teams are still going to put up numbers. Like, that's sort of how I see this game going, because you can't count out any of those guys. It's probably going to come down to like one or two key players in the game, and that's what's so exciting, because it's just both of these teams have got one guy on offense that can just change the dynamic and the course of an entire game, but the defense is the strongest part of both teams. That's why it's so interesting. It's so exciting.
Absolutely. So how do you see the Bills going forward from here? Because obviously next year Allen's cap hit takes another big step up. Sort of makes it more difficult to keep that team around him. How do you see them staying? I mean, you'd think with Josh Allen and, a few other good pieces, they're still going to be in that conversation. But to what extent can they keep this team around him?
I don't really know, because he's one of those QBs that is just, he's really talented. He's really good. I think he doesn't need, I think if you took away Diggs, he would still have a really good season. I still think it would, like, kind of like Mahomes did when they took away Hill and he had his best season ever. Like, I just think that is sort of the same thing that could happen with Allen, but I just think that he is quite inconsistent at times, and I do think that that was his downfall during the season, but then in the playoffs he just turns it on, and yeah, it's not his fault they lost. So yeah, I think going forwards, you have your franchise guy, you just build around him. He makes guys like Shakir and Gabe Davis look really good. He's now got Dalton Kincaid. I think he'll be fine. Like, whatever team they put around him, they'll figure it out, because they've got a top three, top four QB in the NFL. I'm going to say top three, but yeah, maybe even top two. I just can't. Lamar's had such a good season. I'm like, no, not really better than him. But then no one's better than Mahomes. So yeah, that's how I see it going.
So just to wrap things up for this podcast then, just a quick sort of preview ahead to the championship games. Which two teams do you think are making the Super Bowl, Miles?
Oh, Niners. I do believe the Niners will beat the Lions, which is hard for me to say, because I absolutely love this Lions team. Like, since last season, they've just been probably the most fun team to watch in the NFL, which is saying something, because Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are in the NFL, which brings me on to the next game. And I actually can't pick a winner, because I think I can never count out Mahomes. But this Ravens team are just so good. But then this Spagnola defense is just so good. Like, it steps up every time it needs to. Like, when they absolutely need to make a play, they make a play. And but Baltimore's defense is more, they're just consistently good. But I think in the absolute clutch moment, I would pick KC's defense, even though on a play-to-play basis, the Ravens are probably the better defense. I just think in the moment that you need a play, I would pick the KC defense. And I think because I can't write off Mahomes, I think I'm going to have to go with KC. I think if the Ravens defense shows up straight away and they can plot, like it can just stop KC early on, get a couple scores, different game, different story. But if the game is close in the fourth quarter, I will trust that KC defense to get the stop they need or the turnover they need, and then KC go and win it. So it's basically how the game starts. You know, if it's still close at the end, KC, if the Ravens can just get off to a flyer, but I just don't really see that happening. I don't see the Ravens scoring a touchdown in the opening drive and then KC stalling out three times in a row and the Ravens being up 21-0. I don't see that happening. If by some miracle it does, then yeah, but I don't see that. The realistic scenario is it's a close-ish game or Mahomes is on top. Like, that's it. So I'm going to go with Mahomes and the Chiefs, but that's not a slight against the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, because they have been fantastic this season. And I would argue Lamar Jackson's probably having an MVP level season, which is why it's quite hard to say that he's going to lose this game, because yeah, I just can't write off Mahomes. I just yeah can never yeah
Yeah, fair enough. MVP level season, certainly given the standards that we've seen this season from general quarterback play. But yeah, this playoffs as well, he's proving that he is a big game player. I am going to take the Ravens just because of how good that defense is, and I think Lamar is going to prove himself and he's going to win this game, and I think he's going to be the Niners. Just going all in on the conspiracy theory that the colors of the Super Bowl logo correlate to the teams that are going to be in the Super Bowl, purple and red. So it's going to be the Ravens and the Niners.
Yeah, that is a good conspiracy, though. I like that.
But yeah, so yeah, I think they're also just the two strongest teams all around, and that's just.
No, I do agree. I think Baltimore are the better team, but I can't, you know, again, it's like those moments where, yeah, a team can be better, but they have that one player that is just more clutch than anyone else, and that's what I'm going with here.
Fair enough. Yeah, it'll be great to watch these last few games, whoever it is, and it's going to be great entertainment. Any parting words for us, Miles, before we wrap up?
I really, 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 really looking. I am really looking forward to not the season being over, but once the season's over is when I do all my college like tape and grind the tape and all that. And I'm very excited to just sit and watch loads and loads of college tape and throw out some nuclear takes about this upcoming class. So whilst we only have three more games of football, there's a lot to look forward to. But right now, we look forward to the weekend and the insane matchups we have in store.
I'm looking forward to hearing. And from myself, it was very nice this weekend just watching every team and being like, I quite like all of these teams. There's no team, so I don't want to be here. I don't want to make it to the next round. So yeah, that was a very pleasant experience. More of that from future seasons, please, NFL. I don't even mind if the Giants, I mean, I, it would nice to be if for the Giants to be competitive again at some point. But it, if this is how it is from now on, then yeah, I can deal with this. Yeah, thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you in a bit.